When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did.
This is the final word. Australia West Indies Daily, day 3 of the GABA test. The second test between Australia and West Indies, which Adam White has been a fascinating affair already. This is brought to you by CBus Super. I'm Bharasundaresan, and returning star Adam White. And you know how this goes, Adam. 30-second summary, please.
Okay, let's go. First of all, it was really hot. Really, really hot. High 30s, high humidity, so it was going to be a tough day for everybody today. The West Indies resumed at 1 for 13. The hope was that they would at least get 200 in front to make a game of it. That was what the hope was. I tell you what, there's more than hope there at one point before the West Indies lost 6 for 37. To almost stuff up what would have been a really strong position in the game. In the end, they were 215 runs in front when Australia batted a second time, and they're going okay. 2 for 60 at stumps, Australia. Steve Smith, importantly, still there. Manus Labuschagne isn't. He's out. Cameron Green coughed and spluttered his way to stumps, but he's still there as well. So Australia, in the end, what do they need? Another 156 to win. They're going okay.
I'm going to crown you the Usman Khawaja of 30-second summaries. I said it yesterday. You do it so calmly, so casually. I'm like Steve Smith, Manus Labuschagne, and I guess Cam Green rolled in together each time I have to do it. So Uzi of the 30-second summary, you nailed it. I think I thought West Indies did stuff up a great opportunity to really push this game forward. And I know we'll come to the first session and the second session, but what happened right after the dinner break, the start of the third session? In my opinion, they went from being a team who thought they had nothing to lose to suddenly becoming a team who went, oh, we might actually win this. How do we go about it? Oh, we don't know. And in that period, Josh Hazlewood bowled a dream spell. Nathan Lyon bowled beautifully. It bowled well throughout the day. And they just lost their way, which meant that target was 216 and not 260, which at one point we thought it would be. Because let's face it, for large parts of the day, Whitey, Australia just didn't get on the roll, the kind of roll that we thought they would with the ball.
Yeah, well, certainly the West Indies didn't freeze under pressure because it was too hot to freeze. But nice. That was a bit corny, wasn't it? But I think in the end what happened was, Bharat, that a little bit what you said, they kind of lost their way a little bit because they started to get careful. They started to preserve what they had as opposed to try and build on what they had. And I think that in the end, what changed everything really was Kovum Hodge was batting really well. An unfortunate run out where he turned it on the onside, thought about going for a single, realising that Travis Head had the ball at bat pad, tried to get back, backhander from Travis Head onto the stumps, and Hodge trying to ground his bat, it actually bounced. And when actually the bails were dislodged, the bat was in the air. So it was a really unlucky dismissal. And I kind of feel from that moment, I'm not saying that there was like, oh, poor me sort of thing from the West Indies, but it was a really strong partnership. They didn't look like getting out because the wicket really is very good to bat on, particularly when the pink ball gets soft. Then from there, they just lost their way. They lost all momentum. They weren't scoring freely. Even throughout the entire day, if you look at the run rate today compared to other days, today was a lot lower. I mentioned about how hot it was, and I think that did have an impact on everybody. But I just felt the game didn't quite go forward as quickly as I thought it was going to. So even though the West Indies had a lead of over 200, I felt that they really did mark up an opportunity. We had four West Indian batsmen in the end score between 29 and 41. So when they look back on what could have been, they only needed one, but hopefully two of those guys to get at least 60 or 70, and the lead would have been over 300, and Australia would have been in a really vulnerable position, but they just couldn't take that advantage. And the reality is, Bharat, that's what inexperienced teams do. They don't quite know how to nail the advantage when they have it.
And this morning when I woke up, yeah, I saw right about the inexperience of these teams coming through. in crunch moments, when they are in positions where they can force a win or force a position where from where they can go for the win. We saw it from Pakistan in Melbourne. We saw it from Pakistan in Sydney. And if anything, ever since Australia kind of had it easy in a way in Perth after they made 400, the only time they made 400, you saw in Melbourne they were 4 for 16, and then that dropped catch from Abdullah Shafiq, which will be spoken about for years and years to come, turned the game. In Sydney, they took the first innings lead and then still didn't make the most of it in their third innings. In comparison to that, I thought the West Indies did pretty well. They started well. Like you said, it was all about seeing off what, 7 or 8 overs this morning, because that would have meant 15 overs in their second innings. And that's about the time the ball begins to go soft, especially on this hot day. Australia decided the best they can do is rotate their fast bowlers around in 3-over spells. And that's what they started doing from the very start. Craig Brathwaite, I thought, looked okay. He was beaten a couple of times. And then the first wicket came from nowhere, from Cameron Green, a full ball, nothing short. At a time when Kirk McKenzie was putting on a show at the other end, wasn't he? He was cover driving everything. And I must say, at that point, what he was named after, or his middle names are Sanjay and Alex, after Sanjay Manjarekar and Alex Stewart. I don't remember, and you've seen a lot more cricket in Australia than I have live, I can't remember Sanjay Manjarekar or Alex Stewart driving the ball better than what Kirk McKenzie was.
Maybe Alex Stewart at times, but certainly not Sanjay Manjarekar. Look, I was a bit frustrated, to be honest, with Kirk McKenzie from the point of view of we saw it in Adelaide and we saw it again here at the Gabba, where we saw someone that was brave enough to take on the Australians by hitting down the ground. It was very difficult to do at Adelaide on a grassy pitch. This was a bit easier here at the Gabba. But on both occasions where McKenzie was in total control, he found a way to give up the control back to Australia. And I think that's the thing that would really frustrate the West Indian coaches, that even when you look at Athanase as well, another guy that was in total control, batting really nicely, and was just a soft out. Yeah. And when you look back and you sit down with the two youngsters and you go, what happened there? I don't think they'd actually give an appropriate answer, because I'm not sure they know themselves, because it was just, they were both soft outs. And when you are in control, good teams stay in control. And I'm a big believer in cricket that it's all about moments. It's how you master the moments. And the inexperienced teams do tend to freeze under pressure. They'll drop a catch. A bowler who knows that they're in control will start to try a little bit too hard, over pitch a ball a little bit too much, or bowl short, and then the opposition then gets back into the game as a result of that. And I think that is definitely what happened today with the West Indies. They would have been sitting in the dressing room or just out in front of us and going, hey, how good's this? We could have a lead here of 300. Yeah. But how do we get 300? How do we make a lead go from 200 to 300? And ultimately, as I said before, they lost 6 for 37, and while they had a little bit of bad luck, a lot of that was mismanagement. And when they came out in that last session, Bharat, at one point there were more wickets than runs there. It was 3 wickets and 2 runs in about an 8-over phase, and they, from that moment, you could just tell that they were going to struggle. But the moment, there was a couple of moments in the match, or the day, certainly the Travis Head run out. There was the Cameron Green catch, another great catch in the gully where he reached up really tall and jumped up and parried it down and caught it on the rebound. But also the last one where we saw your man Shamar Joseph get hit on the toe from a Yorker, a sand shoe crusher from Mitchell Starc. Now, it would have been out LBW probably. It was given out. It went to review. Then we found out it was a no ball.
Exactly.
So he wasn't going to be out regardless. But then we realised that he'd been hit right on the end of the big toe and had to retire hurt. So it had two issues there, because half an hour of Shamar Joseph batting, we might have had that 300 lead. We saw what he did in Adelaide. But what happened is that he wasn't able to bowl. And I think not only was he not able to bowl, but I reckon it just sucked the jam out of the donut with the West Indian team, because they realised that their energy giver, he wasn't there. The vibrancy, he wasn't there. And as good as Alzari Joseph is with his pace, and he's almost the senior member of that team from a pace point of view, we know what Kemar Roach can do. Shamar Joseph gives the energy. And when that wasn't there, I just felt that they didn't have the energy late in the day to have Australia 4 or 5 down.
And I thought they lacked that energy with the bat as well.
They did.
Yeah, they survived. They put on partnerships. Greg Brathwaite, soft dismissal, like I said, punched into cover. Kirk McKenzie, you spoke about. He's batting really well. Nathan Lyon comes on, bowls the first ball. Athanase takes a single off him. And then McKenzie attempts a sweep shot. Without picking the length, it was a bit too full for the sweep shot. Misses it. He's gone.
How many sweep shots had he played before then?
Zero.
Correct.
And that's the point.
Don't play it again.
Exactly. Don't start with the...
Don't worry about
and at a time when he's looked good while using his feet against Nathan Lyon.
That's right. Hit him down the ground. You've done it so well.
You've done it in three innings. But he preferred the sweep first up. Misses it. He's out. And then next up, Athanase was looking really good. And as Nathan Lyon just revealed, it was Steve Smith who said, toss it a bit wider, plays the drive, and the catch is taken. And don't forget, Athanase had also had got a reprieve, much like Craig Brathwaite, just before the tea break, where West Indies had lost just one wicket at this point, or two wickets at this point in that session. Cam Green bowls probably his best over in Test cricket for a long time, sets him up nicely, outside edge, and Steve Smith dives in front of Usman Khawaja. And we both spoke to Carl Hooper about this, and he said that catch should have gone to Usman Khawaja at first slip. That doesn't happen. So Athanase had got the reprieve, but he still kept driving at these wide ones. So he gets out after his best score on tour, the 36 he makes, or 38 it was. And then the Hodge run out. But even then, Justin Greaves, I thought, batted well. Australia didn't get wicket in clusters till the very end, just before that break. So they get three wickets in that middle session. But the game hadn't slipped away from them, had it, Whitey?
No, it hadn't. It hadn't. And I think before we get to the Australian batting innings, because it was interesting, it could have been more interesting had a few things gone differently. I'm not certainly an international batting coach, but I think one thing that the West Indies have got to do better at is that, for me, their batting, which is very attractive to watch, it's got to be more than just four or nothing. Yeah. It feels to me that if they get the ball, they try and hit it for four. If it doesn't go for four, it either goes straight to the field or it's just a nothing. I think that they put themselves under too much pressure because they're not rotating the strike a little bit more. There's nothing wrong than pushing it through the covers for two rather than trying to crush it for four and it look an attractive shot, which they can play. Yeah. But to me, they put themselves under too much pressure because they aren't rotating the strike. They've got a good mix of left and right-handers. And I think to get some better rhythm into their game, I think by accumulating a little bit more rather than going four or nothing, I think that's... And again, that comes with experience and playing more Test cricket, I think, as well, or more Red Bull cricket, then that will start to come into their game and I think they'll improve quite considerably as a result of something like that.
You know who I was disappointed with the most today in that West Indian camp was Joshua De Silva. I mean, he played so well in the first innings, really brought West Indies back in the game alongside Kavim Hodge. But in three out of four innings on this tour, as one of the senior members of the side, albeit he's played just 24 tests, he had played 24 when he came here, that shot of Mitchell Starc, I mean, he'd got a couple of boundaries away, and you know how dangerous he is, wide outside off them, just before a break. And imagine what it would look like if it's Graves and Joshua De Silva walk out to bat after that dinner break, but then just chases a wide one. Great catch from Cam Green, like you said. But those little things, right? Like when... It matters most. You need your Brathwaites. You need your Joshua De Silvas to put their hand up and say, okay, we'll play that crucial hand. And it doesn't have to be a 70 or an 80, but make 30, 40 and extend the target. That didn't happen. I think that broke the back of the West Indian batting.
Yeah, it did. And I think there's a very famous cricket coach here in Australia called Greg Shippard, who's had a lot of success in domestic cricket in Australia. And he often talks about owning the game around the breaks, before and after breaks, even around drinks breaks, where you can pinch some overs or maybe pinch a wicket. When players perhaps aren't fully focused on the task at hand, they're thinking about the break. And I think that's a classic example of that the West Indies needed to take some momentum into that tea break, and they were unable to do that with that dismissal. And I agree with you, De Silva should be better than that because he has played a lot more test matches than a lot of others. But at the same point, 24 test matches isn't a lot of test matches.
Tells you everything you need to know about
exactly
this team.
Exactly right. And I really hope that the West Indies do get to play more Test cricket, because I think we are seeing that there are some bones, there are some really good players that have taken it up to the Australians. They just need to be able to sustain it for longer, and the only way that they're going to be able to get better is to play more.
Well, they played 6 tests last year. They're going to play 9 tests this year.
That's
they already
not bad.
Played. That's not bad. It's at least increasing. They played.
Because I don't think it matters who it's against.
No, I mean, and it's a good year for them because they play 2 in Australia, which is done now. It'll be done tomorrow, you'd think. They have 3 in England, and I think they have 2 in India later this year. So, you know, you're playing the big 3 nations in that sense in the same year. So, or maybe I think they might even play South Africa at the end of that. So that's a big year for them. Hopefully this core stays together, even though it's such a young core. And I'm sure we'll discuss about that tomorrow, Wadi. But after the break, that period you spoke about, 7 overs, 2 wickets, 3 runs.
There's another way, 3 wickets, 2 runs.
Oh, 3 wickets, 2 runs. Absolutely more wickets than runs, you said. and then when once Shamar hobbled off, you were like, okay, 216 is not nothing, but they need to strike early. And that's when Steve Smith comes out and looks as good as, not just as opener, but as good as he has with the bat all summer.
Yeah, he did. I think he had some help. I don't think they bowled particularly well to him. They bowled a lot too short, and he was able to hook a few away. He played a couple of nice cover drives to overpitch deliveries, and then once he'd faced that 15-20 balls, he was pretty much away. Kemo Roach only bowled 3 overs in that first spell, which again surprised me considering that he was the one that sparked them in the first innings, where he took 3 of the first 4 wickets in that incredible half an hour on day 2. So that surprised me, particularly with Shamar Joseph not being able to bowl. It meant that Justin Graves had to bowl a lot more and a lot earlier than he would have thought. He bowled a bit wide, and then when he actually straightened it up a little bit, he showed that he is a handful. He is. Because he gets the ball to seam both ways. So Cameron Green particularly struggled with him. We'll get to Green shortly, but yeah, Smith got away. Khawaja strangled down leg side, like Travis had in the first inning, so that's always unlucky. But I think the big story, we always thought it was Steve Smith because of his changing position from 4 to 1. But Manus Labuschagne, I know you want to talk about Manus. This was really interesting because he came out with a slightly different approach. He was trying as hard as he could not to play at the ball outside off stump. There were a lot of really tight leaves. Then he was committed into playing a shot finally outside off stump, nicked it. Kevin Sinclair took a great catch at second slip, and he's out again for 5. You can talk about how much his average has dropped.
I know.
But this was a year that I think we all thought that Manus Labuschagne was going to fill his boots because he's done it previously in Australian summers against weaker opposition. It hasn't happened, and this form drop has been quite considerable.
Yeah, and especially after he got the pair of 60s in Sydney, I really thought everything was back in order with his batting. And he would be the first one to tell you that in Perth and Melbourne, he was struggling with just the alignment of his body, how he was shaping up. I thought everything was going the right way in Sydney. And with Manus, you can always see it when he kind of gets over the line of the ball and flicks it through mid-wicket for 4, and then from that same position drives it through the covers. You know everything's going well for him. But you could see that first innings dismissal was playing a huge role in how he was batting. He was kept leaving Alzari Joseph, like you said, Whitey, and one ball just shaved off stump, didn't it? It came back in. But it was at the other end. And I think, if anything, Justin Graves was an even more difficult bowler to face because he was all over the place. And just the ball before he got out, I remember calling this with you. Moti was out there on the boundary, just a nothing ball on the pads. Manus just easily tucks it round, runs 2. And Graves bowls the best ball he'd bowled in the spell, which again was a little wider. Manus could have left it alone, but he kind of gets sucked into it. And you could see it. He just like slammed the bat on the pitch and he just stood there. So I did some number crunching this morning. He was averaging 51.41 when he walked out to bat today, which is the lowest he's averaged since the summer of Manus, the famous one, 2019-20, when he really went from being the concussion substitute who started looking good in Test cricket to being the number 3 that became a world class and grew to number 1 in the world. And now, after that cheap dismissal today, his average is down to 50.82. It seems improbable considering he was in the 60s for such a long time after the summer of Manus in 2019-20. Now he's got 2 difficult test matches against New Zealand, and then he has to wait all the way for India to come again. So, so much focus on David Warner and Steve Smith during the summer, but Manus not getting a score in even like 70 and plus. If not a concern, it's definitely a worry.
Oh, I think it is a concern. There's 2 reasons why I think it's a concern. One is that it's not like opposition have found out a weakness where they go, oh, this is how you get Manus Labuschagne out that we haven't tried before. It's quite sort of nondescript ways he's getting out to sort of nothing balls where he's nicking them. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, which I think would be not so much frustrating the Australian hierarchy, the coaches and the selection panel, but it's more, I think, something to ponder, is that because they have made the changes to the batting or the way they have, with Smith going up to open and Cameron Green coming into four, so that's two changes to your top four. You need your number three to be in form scoring runs, because it means then that if it does take a little while for things to settle with Green at four and Steve Smith opening, at least you've got confidence that your number three is scoring bulk runs. And because he's not, it's putting more pressure on Cameron Green,
yep,
coming in a bit earlier than he would probably like. And for Steve Smith, not that he necessarily feels pressure, but he kind of knows that, geez, you know, David Warner's not there to get us off to the fast start. Marnus isn't scoring runs. Cameron Green new to four. I'm starting to feel it a bit more than I would have to otherwise because of the change. So that's the thing that I think is the maybe the biggest concern for the selectors. I'm not suggesting that Marnus needs to be dropped, but he needs to find form to make it easier for the ones around him, considering the changes that have been made. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, without David Warner, they don't have the pace setter. So now Steve Smith did set the pace nicely. What, 2 for 60? Largely because of how Steve Smith has played. Because Cam Green looked all at sea for large parts of his innings, especially against Greaves and Kemar Roach when he came back. He kept kind of fishing outside his off stump. There were a couple of edges. So at least he survived. And it was the first time we saw Steve Smith and Cam Green back together in their newish positions now. So they have a lot of work to do still. I think West Indies cannot think that they're out of it for 156 runs to get for Australia from this point. If they can strike in the first 10 or so minutes and get one or two wickets, and if they can get into the head Marsh Carey part of this batting lineup within the first half hour, you know what, with the weather around as well, I don't think they're completely out of this.
I don't think they are either, but I felt that the West Indies didn't play like they were still in it. I don't think they had the belief, or I didn't think they had the verve about them to think, hey, we're only a wicket away from maybe getting almost on top. So that's my only concern. The interesting thing with Cam Green for me is he's always a nervous starter.
Yeah.
Even in Shield cricket, nervous starter, you're like, oh, I'm not sure he's on today. He plays hard at the ball. He feels for a little bit. But once he settles in, that's when you see the best of him. I really hope that that happens tomorrow for Cameron, because I have high hopes for him. I think he can be a number four. Nathan Lyon said after play tonight that he feels that he can be the Jacques Callis.
That was quite something.
Yeah, the Jacques Callis of Australian cricket for a long time, where Callis obviously batted at four, was brilliant in the slip cordon as a catcher, which is what Green is in gully, but also, you know, could bowl 145 outswing and score all the runs he did, by averaging over 50 at number four. So we'll see. And I mean, he's obviously still really young in his career, but I think what it does show is even Nathan Lyon saying something like that is this is a long-term investment. Yes. They're not going to give up on Cameron Green at four after, you know, even if there was three or four failures here. I think they will still persist with him in that position.
Perfect. So 156 to get for Australia tomorrow. That's where we will leave that, and we will move on to the final word, Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Final word, Hall of Fame, brought to you by Cibus Super. Oh,
that's
it's
right.
been
that's
a hard right. day. And what Cibus Super do and have been doing for the last 40 years.
That's and doing it very well.
Oh, excellently well. That they've served over 900,000 people pre- and post-retirement with their super, and they continue to do a great job. We need to push them towards that 1 million number. You and I, Whitey, will be heading towards our retirement. Not anytime soon for the sake of our families. But when we do, we know Cibus Super will be out there to support us. cibussuper.com.au. That's where you'll find all your information. Remember, past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance. So Hall of Fame. Why don't you go first, Whitey? Or even before you go, this is... I don't know what to say about this, but Matthew Hayden in suspenders on a hot day, on that hot day for me, is my first Hall of Fame nomination.
Very unusual, but Matthew Hayden is unusual. We love him, but he's very unusual, and I think he owns being very unusual. Well,
like, I mean, yeah, he's not as reserved and normal as me.
Well, this is true.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of nominations.
Okay.
One is the slushies. Yes. Now, hot day, we've talked about this a fair bit, and we saw players coming off the field and disappearing for lengths of time, which I was upset about.
Yes,
we'll talk about that shortly.
About it, yeah.
But at one point, we saw Scott Boland come out with a tray of slushies in little plastic containers with silver spoons so that the players could, these are big athletes, with silver spoon teaspoons, scooping out their slushies and eating them like children would at a kid's birthday party. It was quite unusual, but that's what was happening.
It was. And I just loved the baby pink color of that drink.
Appleberry.
Appleberry is what we found out, that beautiful shade of pink, Scott Boland just carrying in. But it had to be Scott Boland, right? Like, he's just the nicest man in the world.
He's a bit of a frustrated man at the moment.
That is correct. I know I did see you catch up with him this morning. While you were catching up with Scott Boland and I was catching up with Travis
Head. Right.
Like,
we
were just being
moments.
Very parochial, weren't we? But yeah, Scott Boland carried that tray out. You're right. But speaking of our debate, and it got pretty heated.
It did.
We are two very mild-mannered men. But on radio, on air, we were arguing about the fact that the players today, because of there being extreme heat conditions, mark that word extreme, they were given these allowances when they could go and on and off the field, not for too long, but fixed amount of time, and allowed to do a bunch of things, which you are not happy with.
No, so I'm going to put my parent voice on here. what I found very frustrating is that the Australian bowlers were bowling three over spells. I'll say that again. The Australian bowlers were bowling three over spells, then coming off the field, a substitute fielder coming on. They were then going and changing their shirt. They were going and getting rehydrated, sitting in front of a fan, cooling down, then coming back on, fielding for a bit, and then bowling again, then coming off. And this happened a lot in the first, particularly the first 90 minutes to 2 hours, so essentially the first session. Now, in my view, cricket is a summer sport, particularly here in Australia. It gets hot. You're going to get hot. And for me, cricket is a game of attrition. So you should have to stay out there. You can't come off and have a bit of a rest and a break and a drink and a change of shirt, maybe even a shower, and then come back on. Part of Test cricket is what happens over the course of the 5 days. You get hot, you get tired, you get sore, but you've got to get up again and go again and perform for your team. Now, we don't see a situation where the batsmen wearing the helmets and all the equipment that after half an hour of batting, they go, oh, look, I need a bit of a break now, so I'm just going to go off and sit on a chair in the shade with an umbrella, have a couple of drinks, and we'll start play again in 20 minutes, or I'll go back on again after the next guy goes out. I'm really strong about this, that cricket is a team of 11, not of 14 or 15, and if you're hot, you wait for your drinks break, or you get someone to bring out a drink and you can quickly drink it between overs. But this coming off and having a rest, I just don't think it's, I'm not saying it's not in the spirit of the game, but I'm always saying it is not in the spirit of the game. I feel that you should be staying out there and putting up with the heat.
Spirit of the game versus playing conditions is where I stood. And I think it was, and we were there in the morning. It was extremely hot.
Incredibly hot. We almost melted.
We did. Both of us did. Like, even though I'm wearing loose pants that you can't see, I was sweating through my loose pants, baggy pants. But once it says extreme, any extreme weather condition, there are certain protocols that I think are in the playing conditions across all levels. And you know this as well at great cricket.
Absolutely.
If it goes beyond 40 degrees.
But they're playing test cricket.
I understand. They're playing professional athletes, but the playing conditions give the umpires the chance to have these allowances in place. And then it's about their interpretation, right? Like, you
absolutely
know, what is extreme weather? And I think that's what was happening today. Again, whether it's right or wrong, and I completely agree with you. Especially there were times when even Nathan Lyon was going off. And I remember Ian Smith on commentary saying, why should a spinner be allowed to do that? Like, I understand big fast bowlers doing that. And it wasn't like every time someone bowled a spell they were going off. That's not what we're saying.
It felt like there was a bit of a rotation happening there at one point early.
Yeah, but we did hear that nobody took a shower and nobody got into an ice bath, didn't want to shock the system. So that didn't happen. Nobody took a shower.
No. But I think, and I'm not suggesting the Australians have done anything wrong, because it's up to the umpires or the match referee to determine what's going on. So if they see that as a way of having an advantage, then good luck to them, I guess. But I just feel it's not the way cricket should be played. Cricket is a game of 11 versus 11. You have, what is it, 9 fielders, a bowler and a wicketkeeper. If someone comes on, if someone is injured or someone is not feeling well, not if someone is hot and needs a drink or needs a sit down. That's not the way I'm sounding like a really old man here, and I'm actually sounding like my own dad. But you don't go off because you're tired. You don't go off because you're hot. That's part of the game. And what happens is that you know, and this is where I have great admiration for the batsmen that sometimes are out there fielding for 2 days or nearly 2 days, and they have to go out and open the batting, having been out on their feet for, you know, for 11, 12 hours, and then have to bat, and then might have to bat for 2 days. And we've seen Usman Khawaja participating virtually the whole match for 5 days at times. To me, that is test cricket, and that, I guess that... that makes you a cricketer. That gives you a reputation as someone that can do it when it's tough. And we always go back to Dean Jones back in Madras, and I understand that. But to me, I thought it was taking the mickey a little bit.
The headline, Adam White thinks current day cricketers are soft. Discuss. Leave us your comments below right there. Yeah, and let us know. Because on radio, the radio station just blew up. Not the radio station, but the text lines did blow up. I'm sure the text line will blow up here as well, like I said, in the comment section. I don't think they're soft. He does. just before we go, I also thought it was quite something that someone playing his second test, Shamar Joseph, his absence was felt to such an extent, the whole energy was done.
No doubt.
Like, yeah, even though they have 216 to defend, it looked like such a flat team, and they still managed to get 2 wickets. So who knows? Shamar Joseph has gone for scans. Really unlikely that we will see him on the field tomorrow. So let's wait and see. Hopefully, who knows? Maybe he'll run in with one leg and just one shoe on and bowl West Indies to victory. That'll be quite something. But West Indies are not out of this. But I think we are done. We've gone on for quite a while today.
My last comment is, and I've got my fingers crossed and my toes crossed, this rain that's forecast tomorrow,
yes,
storms
yeah,
are forecast
man.
Tomorrow, that they don't come. Or if they come, they go really quickly, because we know that this place drains really well. There is a lot of rain expected over the next couple of days. Not long periods of rain, but thunderstorms. Because we're going to need about 3 hours of cricket for Australia to either win or for the West Indies to win. We don't want to be hanging around for 2 days, not sure whether we can, you know, get on or get back on. So hopefully the weather is kind to us.
Hopefully it is. What we do know is we will be here tomorrow, because we will see day four. And from what the locals I spoke to, they feel like the rain will come later in the day. So hopefully the game's progressed by then. Whichever way, whichever direction it has progressed in, we'll see. But this was the final word. Daily Australia West Indies day 3. We'll be back for day 4.
Let's go and get an appleberry slushy.
Oh yeah, baby pink, love it. See you tomorrow.
See you later. Future questions, my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it.